It's good to be here this evening. It's good to see all of you that came back and as we strive to worship God. I'd like to start our study tonight with a question, just a simple question. Did you ever talk to yourself? I look out over the audience and I see a lot of people smiling because if you're like me, it's not uncommon to talk to yourself. Many times we do it to when we have a question that we're trying to answer, when we're doing something that's really intricate, if we mess up and you know, we're mad at ourselves about something, or maybe when we're challenged and we're frustrated and we're seeking an answer about something and we're just trying to rationalize things out in our mind, we may talk to ourselves. Now, I'd like to think that there's even an example of a man talking to himself in the scripture. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 19, starting in verse 15 here, Jesus is talking about a parable after some men came to him and talked to him about dividing their inheritance, and Jesus understood that they had an issue with covetousness. And so Jesus told a parable about a man who was a rich man, and his harvest that year yielded much, so much so that his barns that he had were too small to contain the size of the harvest. And so he decided that he was going to tear down his old barns and build newer, bigger barns and put everything in it, and then he'd be set for the rest of his life, and he could just live his life out on that harvest and all of the wealth that he had generated through that harvest. And the Bible teaches that he talked to himself. In Luke 12 and verse 19, the Bible says, "And I will say to myself," and this is the rich man talking, he says, "And I will say to myself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know, he's saying something here to make himself happy, and that might look like, you know, positive, what I call self-talk. You know, but we have to understand that what he said really wasn't positive, because God came to him and said, called him a fool. And the decision that he had made was not the right decision, because he was not rich toward God in his actions. There's a law of divine reaping and sowing that we read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. There the Bible said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap." And we're familiar with that. I'd like to make an application tonight that law is true in every area of our lives, even when we talk to ourselves, even when we do what I'm going to call self-talking. You see, our emotions are linked to our self-talking. And if our self-talking is always negative, we're going to think negatively. If our self-talking is always depressing, we're going to be depressed. If our self-talking is always sad, we're going to be sad. But if our self-talking is encouraging, and if it's positive, and if it's uplifting, then more times than not, that's the type of lives that we'll live, or the type of attitudes that we'll have about life. So we need to strive to talk positively when we talk to ourselves. Have you ever, you know, said to yourself something like, "I'm too dumb to do that. There's just no way I'm going to do it." Or maybe you've said, "You know, there's something that I need to do, but they're just not going to like it. It's not something they're going to like." Or maybe we've said to ourselves, "You know, I know I'll fail. It's no use in me even trying to do that, because I'm just going to fail. I can't do it." Maybe we'll say, you know, the ultimate of all of these. We'll get to the point where we're thinking about doing something and we're talking to ourselves and we just say, "You know, I just don't never do anything right. Don't ever do anything right. Everything that I do is always wrong." These are ways that if we're not careful, we'll self-talk ourselves into defeat. We won't even try to do something, because before we even get to the point where we try, we'll talk ourselves out of that trying. And if we don't try, we can never achieve. You know, that last one where we say, "It's no reason for me to do it, because I'm just going to fail. I always do everything wrong." There are times, if we're not careful, that we'll get to the point that will become a prominent attitude about our abilities for a certain thing, and we won't even try. And it's been said that the biggest mistake we can make is never to try to do anything at all. Sure, we're not gonna succeed all the time. We're going to make mistakes. But the biggest mistake is never to start or never to try. And so, since we're going to talk to ourselves, and it can be good to talk to ourselves from time to time, we need to have positive thoughts. We need to talk to ourselves positively. You see, our minds are precious and they're sensitive. And we need to strive to influence it positively. And the two things that help us in that way are, one, God's word. That's the most powerful positive influencer to ourselves, to our minds. And it should be the most positive influencer to the way we talk to ourselves. We need to meditate on it. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 97. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And to add to that, the second point I'd like to make is from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, there's just so much wealth in the book of Philippians through the Apostle Paul. And he starts off chapter 4 by talking about being united and being joyful and praying to God and doing the things through prayer that would cause Christians to experience joy, because we know that God would answer our prayers. But then he closes that thought in verse 8 when he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there anything is praiseworthy, meditate on those things." How powerful is that? How great would it be for us if all the time we talked to ourselves and all our discussions with ourselves were, number one, based on God's word. They were guided by what God had said through and revealed through his word. And then secondly, the outcome and the motivating factor of all of our decisions and all of our self-admonition and self-encouragement were things that are just, things that are noble, things that are pure, things that were lovely, things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. How good would our lives be, and how happy would our lives be if that's the way we talk to ourselves? You know, the Bible can help us in that respect. What I wanted to do tonight is just put some scriptures down and just have us kind of look at a few that, if we could just sear those into our consciences such that they became some of our defaults when we were talking to ourselves, they would be so beneficial in helping us to talk to ourselves positively. And the list was very, very, very long. And so I've kind of carved some out for us to take a look at tonight. Let's start with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And we're already in Philippians chapter 4, so you can just go right down a few verses from where we've just read. And Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." How powerful is that? I mean, when we are struggling with ourselves as to whether or not we can be strong spiritually, whether we can do things that God would have us to do, when the devil is tempting us and things in front of us seems like it may be inevitable that I'm just going to sin, I'm faced with something that there's just no way that I can achieve spiritual success in doing this. And then we think that Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Just how powerful is that? Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. Where the apostle says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." If we're praying to God and asking God for strength, if we're praying to him and asking him for guidance, if we're praying to him and asking for something, how good is it for us to be able to tell ourselves, "I know God's going to answer my prayer and give me what I need. He's going to give me what's best for me." But even more so, he's capable of doing exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask, and giving me exceedingly abundantly above all that I need. You know, if we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 5, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, there may be times when we are talking to ourselves and we may be wondering about all this thing, the Christian life. You know, we read the Bible, we believe in God, we obey him, we're striving day by day to do those things that God would have us to do. But Satan has put something in front of us that may cause us to just not necessarily full-fledged doubt what we're doing, but maybe just question it. You know, maybe just need some reassurance. And so we're talking to ourselves, and how reassuring would it be for us to be able to recall what Peter says here? Again, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy has begotten us into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." How sound is our hope? Our hope is living, and it's just as sure and sound as Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Time will not permit me tonight to go into the surety and the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's just so much that points to the reality of his resurrection. And if that's real and if that's sure, then Peter says that God has done that through his mercy, and he's begotten us for that purpose. And the reward then is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it does not fade away. And I love what Peter says here. He says it is reserved for us in heaven. It's reserved, he says, in heaven for you. And we know that we're going to get that if we're faithful to God, because in verse 5, Peter says that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. How powerful is that? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Here John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." I mean, that's where we were trying to get. I mean, that's just so great. You know, there's a lot of talk about who the Antichrist is and what the Antichrist is. But John states succinctly here that any spirit, any person that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is the Antichrist. Every spirit that does that is not of God, and so therefore they are the Antichrist, because they have the spirit of the Antichrist. But then in verse 4, he says, we should not be troubled by that. No matter how prevalent that might be in the world. And we live in a day and time when people just don't have a lot of thoughts for the Lord, a lot of thoughts of God. There are a lot of people who profess to be agnostic or profess to be atheists. And sometimes we may look out in the world and see the millions and the thousands of people who live like there is no God. And we may even be troubled within ourselves, and we may talk to ourselves. And how would it be, how powerful is it for us to be able to recall 1 John 4 and 4 when he says that we are of God, and greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I mean, that's just powerful. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You know, living the Christian life and doing what God would have us to do can take a toll on us from time to time. I mean, we can be weary. Remember how the prophet talked about those that are getting weary. And then he said, "They that wait up on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." He said, they'll walk and not be weary. They'll run and not faint. Well, what causes that? Those that wait on the Lord. And that's necessary for us to wait on God and allow God to do what he is going to do to strengthen us through his word, because living the Christian life can take its toll and we become weary. Again, that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, though our outward man is perishing, though we're getting older and we can see the decay in the physical body, we can see the change in the physical body, we can see ourselves fastly approaching the dust to which we were created. But the converse of that, he said, is that our inward man, the spiritual man, who we are and what we are, is being renewed day by day. And whatever we are going through in this world, whatever is troubling us, is for a moment. But he says it works a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And we can realize that when we see, understand, accept, and when we talk to ourselves about the things which are eternal, the things which are not seen, not the things which are seen. Because he said the things which are seen are temporary. Those things that are in the world, they're going to pass away, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How powerful is that? To be able to tell ourselves, don't worry about the world. Don't be concerned with all those things that are there. Yes, bad things happen to good people in this world, in this life. But if we hold on and do those things that God would have us to do, any of those bad things that happen to God's good people, Paul said, is a light affliction. And it's just for the moment. And it's working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And let me close with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 through verse 39. And I could even start at verse 1. I just love this whole chapter. It's just so great what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I mean, he starts off in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and he says, "Now, there is therefore no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh." Now, we understand the context Paul is talking here is he's still dealing with the law and those who would be saved and justified by the law. And he's putting forth the fact that the law is a law of condemnation. And for those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, there is no condemnation. But then he goes on to talk about the sonship that we have in Christ through the Spirit. He says in verse 16 that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that then we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. You know, the bottom part of that verse is we are heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, whether heirs of God, if we are children of God and obedient unto him, and the Spirit testifies of that. But he says, just as Christ suffered, then we are going to suffer. But just as he was glorified, we're going to be glorified. But it's that suffering many times that has us talking to ourselves. And it's that frustration that comes from the suffering that has us, you know, questioning certain things. And our faith may become weak. And we're talking to ourselves. And that's why I like what Paul said in verse 35 when he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, Paul has already talked beginning in verse 31 about the everlasting love that God has. And he's already talked about the suffering that will be here, but then the glory that's going to be when Jesus comes again and when he is completely glorified. But there may become a time when we again become frustrated in trying to live the Christian life. And we begin to talk to ourselves and we wonder whether or not Satan seems powerful. There are those that are out there who seem to have the right words and can say the right things and can do the right things that would cause people to question their faith. And we might wonder whether or not Satan's power may allow him to separate people from God's love. But we have to understand, as Paul said here, he asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he answered it. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He's not saying who is going to cause me to separate myself. He's basically saying, I know that I'm not going to do anything wrong, but if I'm doing what God would have me to do, if I'm struggling to be faithful and I'm suffering to be faithful, is there anything else over and beyond that's outside of my control and my ability to overcome that would separate me from the love of Christ? Can tribulation do it? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He says in verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But then in verse 37, he says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, I always stop there because I know what it is to win. I know what it is to be a conqueror. But I'm not sure what it is to be more than a conqueror. I haven't learned that lesson yet. And it's probably because sometimes winning and being a conqueror is so much work. I just sit there and I say, yep, that's over. I won that battle. And that temptation's over. And I conquered that temptation. But Paul said there'll come a time that we'll be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Then in verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at what Paul says. He asked the question, who can separate us from God's love? Can tribulation, a distress, a persecution, a famine, a nakedness, a pearl, a sword do it? He said, we suffer all the time. We're just like sheep for the slaughter. But he says, I am convinced, you know, one version puts it, I am convinced. And then he goes through every extreme possible. Death nor life, that extreme. Angels from heaven, or principalities nor powers, which most writers equate to demons and the influence of the devil. Baker says in his commentary that angels would not separate us from God's love. And the devil, demons, principalities, and powers cannot do it. So that spiritual extreme. And then he talks about things present or things to come, that stream of time. What we know now and what we don't know in the future, that's not going to be able to separate us from God's love. And then he says, height nor death, the vertical extreme or the extreme of heaven and earth. And then he said, any other created thing. If there's any other thing that's out there that I'm not even aware of, but it's created by God, because God created everything and brought it into existence, any other created thing is not going to be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How powerful is that? And when we are striving to do what God would have us to do, and there are times when we have to sit down and we have to talk to ourselves. And you know, like this man did when he talked to himself in Luke chapter 12, we may have to sit down and say, soul, don't worry. Soul, God is able to bless us and keep us. Our home in heaven and the things that God has in store for us are reserved. Soul, I can do all things. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Soul, we can make it. Because nothing can separate us from God's love. And as long as we're striving, then God's love is there. And the validity of our home in heaven is just as great as it can be. So when we talk to ourselves, maybe we can use some of these verses and other verses that you may have in the Bible that strengthen us. I wanted to talk through Psalms 23 because a lot of people get strength out of the 23rd Psalms. You know, and how powerful is that when we're talking to ourselves and we just need some help and we need some guidance and we feel so alone in the world and we feel like we're by ourselves and we can sit down and just from memory tell ourselves that the Lord is our shepherd. Going to be in want of anything. He's leading us. He makes us to lie down in green pastures, leads us beside still waters, restores our soul. And then we can go on and climax when he says that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we're doing God's will. A bad thing's going to happen. They may, if it's according to God's will, but from a spiritual perspective, God's goodness is there and his mercy is there and it'll follow us all the days of our lives. And one day we'll be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How great is that? Self-talking. When we talk to ourselves, talk positively, talk encouragingly, and use God's word to help us have the proper outlook on life. And if we do that, then we can go through life with a smile on our face, more time than not, and a song in our heart, knowing that God is good and he'll never leave us. A lesson's yours and the response is yours while together we stand and we sing.